I'm under orders, damn it!" he shouted. "Nobody goes through here unless the FBI says so, and they aren't responding." "They ain't responding because they're dead," Harbinger answered. "Boone, Pitt, let's fall back while these guys get killed. Good luck, Sergeant. Have your men save their last bullets for themselves."
"Wait," said Gregorius. "Boone, you said undead. Like that thing we found buried in Bagram? The one that ate Chris?"
"No, sorry, dude. Way worse. Master vampires. That thing we found was just a pussy ghoul."
"Dang. Hold on."
He chewed on his bottom lip for a moment, deep in thought, before turning toward his men.
"Defend against the park. Enemy is incoming. Prepare to fire on my command."
The soldiers complied instantly to their seasoned NCO. Harbinger immediately clicked our radio twice. Doors opened and hunters spread out, many sloshing across into the trees. Sunroofs were rolled back and belt-fed machine guns or MK-19 grenade launchers were lifted into their mounting brackets. The armed Suburbans rolled forward and pulled off to the sides, forming a front.
"What are you doing? There's no such thing as vampires!"
"Shut up and grab your rifle, sir. If we live, you can put me in for a court-martial. Boone, what should we do?"
"What do you have?"
"Two squads, the track here, and a 60 on one of the Humvees. But these guys are admin pogues. I'm lucky they gave us live ammo."
Harbinger stepped in.
"Hold this center position. Control their fields of fire. We got a lot more hardware than you. And with these things, there ain't no shame in running, so retreat if you need to. Sergeant, I order you to arrest these men. That is a direct order."
"Oh, my."
He stopped speaking when he saw the door of the trailer drop and the first of the wargs jump free. The giant wolves, as big as horses, limbs squat and heavy with muscle, snarling and nipping at each other, really were an impressive sight. The black-masked orcs quickly found their mounts, slung themselves bareback onto the creatures, and readied themselves for battle.
"Oh, my."
He started to draw his pistol, but I placed my hand firmly on his. "Those are on our side. The bad guys are coming from the other direction." I pointed.
"Oh, my,"
he said again, as the pack of wolves and riders wheeled about and headed for the tree line, ready to flank into the enemy. The lieutenant looked like he was about to vomit.
"And that's what we alcoholics like to call a moment of clarity," Boone quipped.
I noted that the orcs had taken the time to put white handprints on their masks and helmets. It was a nice touch. They must have loved the Lord of the Rings movies, too.
"Edward, this is Harbinger. Hold your wargs in reserve. You're our cavalry."
"Understand, Harbinger."
The road stretched ahead almost 300 yards before disappearing over the top of a lush hill. The hunters had spread into the forest on both sides. Strange that Harbinger had spoke of a valley of death, and now we found ourselves in one. I turned and found my team waiting, loaded down with heavy weapons, looking to me for guidance. I looked to Harbinger, he nodded to one side, and I went. The others followed. He continued to bark orders into the radio, giving each team lead an area of responsibility, and most notably telling Van Zant's team to
dig in the big guns.
We set up in a small ditch off the road, with a good view of the approach and a small amount of cover. Once again, I was waist-deep in water, this time from the flash floods. Just once I would like to hunt monsters someplace dry, but as a good rule of thumb, if you could get lower, you do it. Lee threw down the tripod, and Tripp dropped the FN Mag machine gun onto it. I was pleased to see that they did it exactly how Sam had taught us, quickly and surely opening the feed cover and sliding in the belt of silver 308. Lee hunkered down behind the big weapon. Holly handed me an RPG. The heavy tube was reassuring in my hands. Everyone dug down into the ditch, prepared to fight. Nervous, but competent. Scared, but professional. We were ready to put some smack down. Not bad for an accountant, a librarian, a schoolteacher, and a stripper. Not bad at all.
"Ready, guys?"
I asked.
"We got a choice?"
Lee asked over the stock of the Belgian machine gun. "Not really." The rain ceased. The wind died. The clouds turned an even brighter green. It was eerily still, and the energy could be felt in the humid sky. Many hunters glanced hopefully upward. Unfortunately, there was no sunlight. The ancient evil approached.
"They're here,"
I said, my voice echoing in the now silent valley. Four figures appeared over the hill, walking purposefully down the road. They had to know that we were there, but they did not care. They were masters. Two clicks came over the radio, the signal to get ready. Harbinger would wait for them to close into the most efficient kill box before unleashing our fury. The four vampires continued to approach. They looked like regular people, out for a nice bit of exercise. Three males and a female. They were dressed in normal attire. Nothing fancy, nothing archaic, just regular everyday clothing. Most likely taken off some of their recent victims. They were graceful and beautiful, even from here. But they could not hide what they were from me. I could almost taste the evil. I wasn't the only one.
"Man, I would give my left nut for some sunshine right about now,"
Tripp whispered.
"It isn't like you're using it for anything anyway,"
Holly retorted.
"Will you shut up?"
"The cursed one isn't going to let it happen." I glanced up at the unnaturally moving clouds. This was his storm. The sun won't shine until he's finished.
"We get in that cave, I'm going to put a grenade where the sun don't shine on him,"
Lee promised. Banter was good. It kept the mind off of the palpable terror that was at 200 yards and closing. I raised the RPG, sat it on my shoulder, pushed off the button safety, and checked that the hammer was back. I had not shot one of these before, but the sighting arrangement was very straightforward. I centered the vampires in the aperture marked 200. The radio crackled. One click, two clicks, three clicks. Fire. The hunters opened up. Hundreds of bullets struck first, followed almost instantly by rockets and grenades, and only a few seconds later by the massive explosions generated by our 81-millimeter mortar team's 9-pound shells. Weapons ignited all across the valley. I squeezed the trigger of the RPG. It was a simple tube that directed a rocket-propelled chunk of high explosive. The concussion was amazing. If this hadn't been so deadly serious, it might possibly have been the coolest thing I had ever gotten to shoot. I found that I was smiling as the area around the vampires disappeared into a cloud of smoke and dust, with gouts of flames leaping into the air and chunks of dirt and asphalt raining down for hundreds of feet. It was beautiful. The Ancient Ones had underestimated their human foes. They were unprepared for the power of our modern weapons. Pound after pound of high explosive ignited in their midst. Multiple belt-fed MK-19 launchers dropped a stream of grenades onto their heads. Walls of shrapnel tore them asunder, and their bones and flesh were charred by phosphorus, thermite, napalm, and towering pillars of flame.
"Yeehaw!"
Tripp shouted, watching the clouds of smoke rise and the almost slow-motion falling of debris. It had been a spectacular display of firepower. Harbinger came over the radio.
They ain't done till you cut off their heads. Watch out. Van Zandt, keep that mortar on them. Pile it on!
I tossed the empty tube down. Behind us, the mortars continued to thump. I could not see anything moving besides the smoke.
Trip, Holly, grab some more rockets. Go!
Movement! Vamp on the right!
The radio said. Gunfire and rockets flew from the tree line on that side. A burning figure emerged into view, only to disappear again as the dirt around it exploded upward into a volcano of flame. The shells continued to pepper the area, each one flattening a massive space. There wasn't going to be anything bigger than a microbe that was going to survive the punishment we were putting into that area.
"How much damage can these things take?" Lee asked.
"Beats me," I replied.
I saw something emerge from the front.
"Vamp in the center, on the road!"
Lee let loose with a burst of 308, stitching a path of impacts and tracers up the road and into the jerking creature. The flaming vampire ran toward us at impossible speeds, seemingly twisting between the bullets, then disappearing as an RPG landed in its path. The smoking body landed a moment later, crashing down to the pavement, and instantly popped back up out of the crater. They healed too fast. The vampire was engulfed in a thunderous explosion as something roared from the center. The blast from the SPIG recoilless rifle shook us all. It made me glad that I had taken the time to help Julie haul it up from her basement. The smoke cleared long enough to see that the vampire was gone. Holly jumped back into the ditch with arms full of rockets. She thumped me in the shoulder and pointed upwards. I tracked in on the movement. The torn remains of the vampire were just reaching the apex of their arc and began descending rapidly toward the earth. The biggest piece of the creature splattered onto the road not 50 feet from our position. The supernatural was no match for the laws of physics and some well-directed artillery.
"Yes!"
I shouted. They were killable. I choked off my triumphant shout when I realized that it was still moving. The head, one claw, and the torso was trying to pull itself toward us, twitching and spurting fluids from its burned flesh. If it regenerated enough to regain its faculties, it would be able to shapeshift and live to fight another day.
"No way, man!"
Lee shouted as he directed a stream of tracers into the body. The heavier rounds from the National Guard Browning 50 began to pepper the carcass as well, kicking up gouts of dirt and vampire's bits.
"Edward, go! All teams hold fire along the front!"
Harbinger ordered. He was still standing by the National Guard, and he personally made sure that they ceased fire. A dark shape exploded from the trees, leaping in huge bounds across the burning grass and rain-swollen ditches, claws tearing up plumes of mud and vegetation. Edward hugged low to the mane of the mighty warg as it moved with predatory speed toward the downed master. Edward drew a sword from his back as he leaned low, hanging barely above the ground as they approached their target. The orc's arm flew upward, like a scythe ready to harvest wheat. It swung down, pushed not just by the power of the orc, but by the speed of the 700-pound beast driving him forward. Edward's masterful aim was true. The ancient blade sang through the air. It met little resistance from the charred and ashen flesh, and it crashed against the hardened vertebra with a clang that every hunter could hear. Did he make it through? The warg passed by, screeching to a mud-soaked halt, before spinning around, red tongue rolling like a giant dog, tearing at the earth and charging back at the vampire. Edward sheathed his sword, hung low, and dragged his fingers through the grass. He swung up, returning to the back of his steed, a trophy held triumphantly above his head. It was a blackened skull. Lightning crossed the sky from every direction. Thunder crashed. A gust of wind tore through us, pushing to the north. The skies protested as the ancient vampire's spirit was finally forced from this world. The hunters began to cheer. The warg bounced back into the trees, Edward still holding the vampire's severed head extended for all to see. The mortars began to fire and drop more explosives into the valley. Only I could hear the mental screams from the other masters.
"Fools! I've warned you of the humans' modern weapons! Flee! Protect our lord!"
"The burning! It will not stop burning!
No time to heal. Too much damage. So weak. Need blood."
"They have destroyed Gurgle.
Sithak is dying.
I shall avenge them."
"See? I told you so. Assholes."
"My lord, use the artifact. Place me into their midst so that I may tear the life from their hearts. Their weapons require distance to work against us."
"It shall be done."
"Oh, shit!"
I exclaimed, turning from the battlefield, looking over my shoulder back the way that we had come. I keyed the radio.
"Earl, vampires are going to gate in close, too close for bombs.
Where?"
I concentrated, but the moment was past. The voices were gone. I narrowed my eyes on a point to the side of our parked convoy of vehicles. For some reason, it drew my attention. It was almost as if I could see the invisible energy forming, swirling in preparation.
"Behind us! 30 yards off the road! South side!"
I shouted as I surged out of the ditch, sprinting toward the spot as fast as I could. Abomination slammed back and forth against my chest. My boots were sodden with water and seemed to weigh hundreds of pounds. My breath came in gasps as I closed the distance. I was never a good sprinter. If the vampires could appear in our midst, we were as good as dead. They moved far too quickly to be stopped with the weapons that we could use at close range. There was a crackling noise as the rift opened. A red line appeared out of thin air and then spread wide. I reached under my raincoat and pulled one of the sharpened white oak stakes from my load-bearing gear. I held it low at my side as I ran forward. It was going to be close and ugly. The creature appeared through the rift, stepping lightly onto the grass. Blood-colored eyes blinked, adjusting to what was for it brilliant light. It had already shed its human appearance, ready for battle, looking like a twisted, gray, hulking bat thing, all fangs, muscles, and claws. It saw me. Too late to do it any good. I jerked the stake upwards, bellowing, my weight and momentum carrying me forward. Crashing into the vampire was like hitting a brick wall. I pushed the stake with all of my might, coming under the ribcage and stabbing into the pulsing black heart. The vampire shrieked so painfully loud that my hearing protection momentarily shorted out. It grasped my hand, trying to pull out the stake. Its jaws opened wide enough to fit my head inside the maw. I continued to push the sharpened wood deeper into the creature's black heart. A stake through the heart would kill any living thing. It would instantly paralyze any regular vampire. On a master, it seemed to merely weaken it. At its normal strength, the creature would have been able to break me in half. Now it was almost as if I were fighting someone only twice as strong as a normal person. The creature swatted me across the chest. I flew back, airborne for what seemed an impossible time, landing hard on the hood of one of the SUVs, shattering the windshield, and sliding down until I fell on my hands and knees onto the pavement. The vampire struggled to pull the stake free. Trip and Lee barreled into the creature, hacking wildly at it with their blades, trying desperately to take its head off. The monster shoved them away, but not before Trip fiercely planted his tomahawk into the base of its skull. With a wrenching squeal, the stake was torn free. The creature roared in triumph, but only for a moment. Its eyes widened as the grill of a Suburban smashed into it at 30 miles an hour. The tires bumped as Holly gunned it over the fallen vampire, crushing it beneath. She slammed it into park, with the thing still trapped, opened the door, and hopped out.
"Keys, we're in it!"
she shouted as she turned and pulled a grenade from her armor.
"Run!"
She pulled the pin. The spoon popped off with a clang, and she tossed it into the front seat of the vehicle. I pushed myself up and ran for my life, trying to get as far away as I could before the 5-second fuse went off. If that vehicle had been as loaded down with munitions as ours had been, this wasn't going to be pretty. The vampire bench-pressed the SUV off of itself and rolled the vehicle onto its side. It stood, broken bones quickly knitting, looking for prey. I dove behind one of the vans and tried to get as low to the ground as possible. The initial detonation of the grenade was relatively mild. The pressurized napalm tank it ignited was not. The crate of 81-millimeter mortar rounds that went off next was downright amazing. The van I was using as a shield rocked up onto two wheels, and every window shattered under the pressure. Once the thunder had died, I slowly lifted my head. I peered around the edge of my scorched cover. The Suburban was reduced to a burning pile of distorted scrap lying sideways in a freshly dug crater. A chunk of metal landed in the grass a few feet away. I realized that it was a door. A burning tire rolled past. "Wow," was the most articulate thing that I could think of to say.
"Think we got it?"
Holly shouted from under the warg trailer.
"I hope so."
I lifted the rifle and approached the wreckage.
"Trip, Lee, you guys okay?"
In the distance, the mortars continued to fire.
"Pit, status?"
Harbinger's voice sounded in my ear.
"I think we got the vampire. I can't find two of my guys."
"This is Mayorga. One of them has broken through. It's in the trees on the left. Puta, got Abe."
"This is Cody. Got one on the right, too."
"Earl,"
I said into the radio. I kept my gun up, pointed toward the burning vehicle.
"There's only one left in the valley, and it's badly hurt. It can't regenerate until it gets blood."
Holly extricated herself from under the trailer, and I tossed her rifle back.
"How do you know?"
he asked.
"Shit, never mind. Van Zandt, stop the barrage. Edward, clean up in the center. Phillips, roll right. Paxton, reinforce left. Now they're up close, but we've hurt them, so they're going to be weaker and slower. We could take them. Pitt, my team is coming your way."
I did not respond. I scanned the surroundings. No sign of the vampire. No sign of Lee or Trip, either.
"Hey, guys! Anybody hear me?"
I shouted.
"I'm okay,"
answered Lee. He approached from the other side of the wreckage. His armor was smoking. He struggled with the FN mag in his hands. It was almost as big as he was, and the exposed belt of ammo hung to the ground.
"That was one big-ass fireball."
"Have you seen Trip?"
He shook his head in the negative.
"Oh, no."
Holly trailed off.
"I killed him."
"You don't know that,"
I shouted.
"Trip, can you hear me?"
Nothing.
"Look."
Lee gestured with the machine gun barrel. I turned quickly, hoping to see my friend. Instead, I saw that the flickering rift into the cavern was still open. It floated a few feet above the ground, a door out of nothing, but I could clearly see that there was something on the other side. I lifted Abomination warily, clicked on the flashlight, and shined it into the shimmering gap. The powerful light pierced the darkness and illuminated a rock wall.
"Grant!"
I exclaimed. Grant Jefferson was lying bound and gagged on the cavern floor, seemingly only 40 feet away.
"Earl! Earl! We found Grant! We've got a back door into the cavern."
"On the way,"
he responded.
"We better hurry before it closes," Lee said. "How do we know it isn't a trap?"
Holly asked.
What if it closes while we're halfway through?
I don't know. Wild gunfire crackled through the forest as the other hunters battled the two masters. We've got to try. I reached into a pocket and pulled out a handful of glow sticks.
I'm going in. I'll try to grab him and bring him out. Cover me.
I cracked the sticks, shook them, and tossed them through the rift. They landed and scattered across the cavern floor, providing a soft green glow. I couldn't see anything else moving.
Good luck, Holly said. You big brave idiot.
I ran toward the rift, no use screwing around. I closed my eyes right before I hit it, only to open them to find myself barreling into the cavern. I had not felt a thing. I gulped in the moist cave air. I turned around, and the rift was still there, only now it showed the valley and the ominous green storm clouds overhead. My remaining teammates were waiting for me.
"Hurry up!"
Holly shouted. That was good advice. I swung my shotgun around, letting the light shine on the damp walls and the slick stalagmites. I did not see any threats. I shined the light on Grant. He moaned softly when the brilliant light hit him.
"Come on, buddy. Let's get out of here."
I knelt at his side and pulled the gag away.
"Pit?"
he gasped. I heard something shuffle in the darkness. I spun the light around. Whites. Lots of them.
"Yeah. Time to boogie."
I grabbed him by the straps of his armor and, with a grunt, hoisted him over my shoulder. I sprinted for the rift, ignoring the 200 pounds of extra weight. The whites began to scramble over the rocks toward me. One stepped into my path, only to be nearly decapitated by a burst of Lee's machine gun fire. Apparently, bullets went through the rift just fine. I passed the falling creature and jumped through the portal. I was back outside. And the whites were right behind. Lee ripped off the rest of the belt into the portal. Holly stood at his side, blasting any undead that came too close.
"We could use a hand, Chief!"
Lee said as he dropped the huge gun, pulled his pistol, and fired at an approaching white. I roughly tossed Grant on the ground, tugged a pair of grenades off of my webbing, pulled the pins, and chucked them through the portal.
"Off to the side!"
The others responded, moving out of the path of the shrapnel. They exploded at the feet of the whites, blasting them into bits of pulsing tissue. A cloud of gravel fell from the cavern ceiling.
"Owen!"
Julie called. Her team and several other hunters were approaching quickly.
"I don't believe it. You found Grant."
Harbinger nodded in approval.
"Sam, Milo, cover that rift."
"My pleasure,"
Milo answered, pushing past Lee and shooting a rising white through the spine with his AR-10 carbine.
"Wow, cool magic portal thingy."
I drew my knife and cut the cords binding Grant's wrists. He looked around wild and frightened.
"It's okay, dude. We got you. You're safe."
"Die!"
Grant screamed. He grabbed me by the throat, trying to crush my windpipe. I grabbed his hands and tried to pry them away.
"Grant, what are you doing?"
Julie cried.
"Stop that!"
"Die, interloper!"
Grant shouted, crazed eyes bulging, spraying spittle into my face. Either he knew that I had moved in on Julie, or he was insane. Either way, it totally hurt.
"He's enthralled," Holly said simply. "Susan must have bitten him."
Julie stood over him, calmly raised the butt of her M14 and cracked him sharply alongside his head. He was out like a light.
"Grant, honey, I think we need to start seeing other people."
I rubbed my throat.
Damn, that hurt.
On the bright side, it was strangely satisfying to not only rescue my competition, but have the woman we were competing for give him a concussion.
"Is he going to be okay?"
Lee asked.
"The enthrallment will wear off pretty quick. But when he eventually dies, no matter how long it takes, he's going to have to get his head cut off, or he's going to come back as one of them. The undead curse is in his blood now, Holly explained. She knelt and pulled Grant's armor open at the neck. There was a ghastly wound at the top of his chest, now caked in dried blood.
That sucks.
Yeah, pretty much. But you get used to it,
she answered.
The rift is holding, Harbinger said. Let's go get the CO.
The gunfire continued in the distance.
Now that the vampires have closed the range, we've got a hell of a fight on our hands. Maybe if we kill him, this cloud cover will disperse.
Roast them bastards good,
Sam spat, noticed something moving in the cavern, aimed his rifle, and fired.
Let's get some.
He levered another mammoth shell into the action.
Okay, I'm on point. You guys stick behind me.
He paused, his nose twitching. Harbinger began to spin, but the master vampire rising behind him was too fast. It grabbed him by the straps of his armor and hurled him through the air at an insane velocity. Harbinger struck one of the SUVs, crumpling the frame around him as if it had been in a high-speed collision, and shoving the massive vehicle several feet across the road. Nobody could have lived through that.
Earl!
Julie cried as the hunters opened fire. It was the master from the rift, the one that Holly had blown up. It was fully healed now, and no longer encumbered by a stake in the heart. Bullets struck to no effect. It lofted something in one gray claw and launched it toward us in a blinding flash. Lee's leg exploded in a shower of blood as Tripp's tomahawk head pierced his thigh. He screamed as he toppled to the ground. The master moved too quickly to track, dodging and weaving toward us as silver bullets dug divots into its muscled flesh. It swooped onto Gus. One claw stabbed out and impaled the hunter through the throat, unleashing a spray of arterial blood. The vampire held him there as it licked its lips. I aimed around Gus's twitching form and shot the vampire in the mouth. The slug exploded out the back of the creature's skull. The wound closed instantly. Enraged, the vampire pulled its bloody talon free, leaving Gus staggering, gagging, and choking, hands at his throat, trying to stop the bleeding. The master lashed out with one arm, and I instinctively dodged aside as Gus's head flew past. The vampire had moved 10 feet before the headless body had even begun to fall. It charged the next hunter in line. Sam was struck in the arm, and the sound of bones snapping could be heard across the valley. The big cowboy roared in pain, somehow dodged under another swing, and fell to the ground. He worked the action of his lever gun with one hand, letting the weight of the barrel carry the weapon down, and then flicking the action closed with his wrist. Sam extended the muzzle and launched a silver bullet up through the vampire's head. It did not even slow the thing down. I fired as fast as I could, putting shell after shell of silver buckshot into the thing to no avail. It kicked at Sam as he rolled away, claws tearing a hole in the pavement. Milo stabbed his now empty rifle forward like a spear. The vampire tore it from his hands and batted him backwards through the rift into the waiting whites. Milo disappeared with a cry of panic. I grasped for the special magazine that Milo had given me and slammed it home, dropped the bolt, and looked up in time to see the master bearing down on me, blood-red eyes filled with rage. I pulled the trigger. The vampire stopped, confused. Pain was an unfamiliar sensation for the ancient creature. It looked down at the hole in its chest, then opened its jaws and screamed. It tore at itself, trying to somehow pull the burning agony from out of its insides. Thrashing, screaming, falling to its knees, claws tearing into the ground. Blue flames erupted from the hole, spilling through the vampire's ribs, igniting internal gases, spitting and crackling. The vampire let out an unearthly wail as it tried to tear open its own belly.
"Take that!"
I shouted as I pulled the trigger again. Nothing. Of course, Milo had warned me that the specialty rounds would lack the power to cycle the action. When I had woken up after Mordecai's death, I had been able to get a good look at his little carvings for the first time. They were simple little tops, or dreidels as he called them, traditional little Jewish toys, each side carved with a Hebrew letter that I had no idea how to read. They were rather small. Unfortunately for us, with a little judicious carving, Milo was able to cram them into a 12-gauge shell. I cleared the malfunction and chambered another round. I put the glowing holographic sight on the vampire.
"Mordecai says hi."
It was a stupid thing to say, but I'm not really eloquent at times like this. Blue flame flashed on the vampire's head as the toy splintered across its skull. The vampire screamed again, rolling across the ground, driving its head into the mud, trying to put out the flames. The toys seemed to hurt them, but they weren't strong enough to kill them, and I only had three left. Gradually, the blue flames died, and the shaking vampire stood, snarling at me, baring its teeth. The distended mouth struggled to form English words.
"You shall pay for that, mortal,"
it hissed as smoking tissues sealed together.
"Vampire!"
someone roared.
"Pick on somebody your own size!"
The vampire turned, looking for the challenger. Harbinger slowly pulled himself from the wreckage of the SUV, blood streaming from dozens of cuts. He gingerly reached over his back and yanked out a blood-stained chunk of steel, which he then casually tossed to the ground with a clatter.
"If you think you're tough enough..."
He stretched, and bones audibly cracked back into place.
"Well, come on then, you stupid thing!"
He unfastened the armor from his torso and arms and took it off. In the flickering light of the burning Suburban, many holes and injuries could be seen on his wiry body. They gradually puckered closed.
"Come on, vampire! I'm giving you a challenge!"
The vampire stopped, flexing its long limbs.
"Loop Garou,"
it hissed.
"Yes, I accept your challenge. Your kind are nothing to the vampire."
Harbinger looked past the creature, locking eyes with me. It was the look of a desperate man.
"Go! Kill the cursed one!"
Harbinger began to change, throwing his head back as if he were in great pain, and then twisting it from side to side. He fell to his knees, hands scraping along the pavement. Bones twisted, flowed, and reformed. His spine pushed up and out along the top of his back. Skin stretched and ripped as pale hair exploded from every pore. The others did not wait to watch the transformation. Instead, they sprang into action. Sam jumped into the rift after Milo. Holly threw a tourniquet around Lee's leg, and Julie ordered the other hunters to drag Lee and Grant to safety. I stood transfixed like an idiot. The transformation continued as the vampire waited, patiently readying itself for a great battle. Harbinger opened his mouth, and razor-sharp teeth thrust out of his extending jaw. His pants ripped as his knees reversed direction. Claws exploded through the ends of his boots, and he kicked the useless things away. When his eyes opened, they were a predatory gold. He fixated on the vampire and howled, the sound echoing for miles. Harbinger surged to his feet, clawed arms thrown wide, the last vestiges of humanity disappearing to be replaced with pure animal power. The howl continued, growing in intensity and bristling rage. If Mr. Huffman had been a normal werewolf, Harbinger had to be some sort of mutant super-werewolf. I could sense the power. Every ounce of his human form turned into a perfect killing machine. Coiled strength, steel masquerading as muscle. I slowly reached up and felt the scar on my face. It was the most terrifying thing I had ever seen. Harbinger launched himself forward, leaping into the air. The master did so as well. The two titans collided in midair with a crash like thunder, nearly 20 feet above the ground. They plummeted to earth in a spray of mud, claws, and fangs flying impossibly fast, shadows spinning and lashing out, backlit by the fire. Red blood and black ichor sprayed as they tore into each other's flesh. It was a contest of wills, immortal speed, and primal strength.
"Owen!" Julie shouted. "We've got to move!"
The others had already jumped through the rift. A moaning Lee was being fireman carried back toward the National Guard. I hurried after her, turning one last time to watch the magnificent battle. Harbinger suspended in the air, tearing down at the vampire, and the master driving its claws upward into its foe. It was an astounding display. Julie grabbed me by my armor and pulled me through the rift. DeSoya Caverns were quiet. The last of the whites were twitching on the ground, shot, chopped, or pulverized into non-dangerous pieces. Sam extended his good arm and hauled Milo to his feet. Holly was splattered with Lee's blood, and there was far too much of it. The rift closed behind us. I swore and jumped aside, just barely missing being caught as it scissored shut. I did not want to dwell on what would have happened if part of me had still been on the other side.
"Well, we're committed now,"
Sam grunted, holding his broken arm tenderly.
"Earl's a werewolf?"
I blurted.
"Well, yeah, I'll explain later. What's our status?"
Julie ordered, settling subconsciously into command mode. She scanned her flashlight across the vast interior chamber, illuminating the huge area beyond the pale glow of the light sticks. The stone glimmered wetly.
"Heck if I know," Milo wheezed. "Lee was hurt pretty bad. I tried to stop the bleeding, but he's going to need a real doctor real fast," Holly said. "Poor Gus. His head just came off." "I know. But we can't do anything for either of them now. Holly, are you okay?" "Fine. I'm fine. Sam, how's that arm?"
"Done broke it," he said. "Stupid vampire. I ain't broke a bone since I gave up bull riding."
"Can you fight?"
He snorted. "I got a spare."
His forearm dangled in such a crooked direction that it made me slightly ill just looking at it. Sam had to have been in horrible pain, but he ignored it.
"Let's sling it up at least so it isn't banging on things. Milo?" "Sore, but otherwise all right. Lost my carbine, though,"
he answered as he wiped the blood from a cut on his shaved head. Sam tossed over his .45-70.
"Not gonna do me much good with one arm anyhow. Careful, there's a man's gun. Got recoil that'll put hair on your chest. I still got my pistol."
"Owen?"
"Good to go," I answered.
I saw from the still twitching remains that the whites had once been federal agents. I picked up an FN scar off of the floor and checked the chamber. The government guys got all the cool new gear. It was loaded. Full mag in the gun, 20 rounds of their composite silver 308 on tap. The mounted flashlight worked as well. I kept the Fed gun in hand and let Abomination hang. I only had a few of Mordecai's magic shells left, and I wasn't about to waste them on a white. If we were to run into one of the Masters, I wanted to have some of the good stuff available.
"Where's Grant?"
Milo asked as he quickly shoved extra shells into Sam's gun.
"Still on top with the others," Julie said. "Probably safer up there. Unless Earl eats him. Where's Trip?"
"We lost track of him when we had that big explosion," I answered. I hoped that he was still alive, but I was starting to have my doubts.
"I think I killed him,"
Holly spoke quietly.
"It isn't your fault," I snapped. "You did what you had to do, otherwise that thing would have done to all of us what it did to Gus.
I just wish that I hadn't been so mean to him. He was such a sweet guy," she muttered. "Damn it, he deserved better." "No time for that."
When the chips were down, Julie was all business.
"We need to hurry. Owen, which way to this secret portal?"
I glanced around, getting my bearings. Everything looks different when you have eyeballs.
"That way," I gestured. "I'll take point," I said as I started between the rock formations.
She hesitated, probably thinking about having somebody else do it. Being the tip of the spear was the most dangerous position.
"Just don't get killed," Julie admonished. "I would miss your charming personality."
"Why, thanks," I replied.
"Plus, we need you to open the door."
I went forward, stabbing the light ahead and also occasionally upwards, looking for any suspended vampires. There were millions of spots in the cavern where danger could lurk. Visions of Gus's tottering, headless corpse flashed unbidden into my mind. I stepped over the smashed remains of a historical display and kicked the severed guide ropes out of the way. The five of us moved quickly but cautiously. Every pass of the flashlight illuminated new formations, age-old deposits, twisted clumps of rock and sediment. Every strange shape that revealed itself caused me to jump. The walls shone as our light struck smooth surfaces. There was something ahead, a darker shadow on the already dark floor. I held up my fist, the signal to freeze. The rustling of armor let me know that the others had responded. I gestured ahead with my flashlight. There was a hole in the ground, a pit. It was a natural formation, and the guide ropes that had surrounded it to keep the tourists from falling in had been torn and tossed aside. I leaned forward, letting the surefire illuminate the gash in the rock. I was struck with a sense of foreboding.
"Oh, no."
I gagged as the smell of torn open bodies hit my nostrils.
"Oh, no."
Julie drew alongside and shined her flashlight into the hole. She grimaced.
"Vampire pen."
A look of disgust crossed her face as she stared into the pile of corpses.
"Poor things."
I recalled the patients of Appleton Asylum. One of the survivors in their sharing circle had spoken of such a thing. Human captives held in a hole, serving as a vampire larder. Fed upon until they were almost dead, but then being left barely alive as the undead rotated through their food, allowed to regain their strength just enough to be bled again. There had to be 10 people crammed in the hole, though they were all obviously dead now. The vampires must have feasted in preparation for this day. Holly shoved her way past me, looking downward, biting her lip.
"Are you okay?"
Julie asked her softly. She held her glove under her nose to block the smell, then stayed focused on the bodies as she slowly spoke.
"You have no idea what it's like." "No, I don't. The weakness, the fear, the pain, the humiliation. You just want to die. Most folks do after the first couple feedings. They just give up. Then the fuckers pull the body out and chop it up and send it back down to you. And the thing is, by then you're so hungry you don't care. You can't see.
You don't know how long you've been in, no light, no air. Strangers pushing on you.
There was a small crack in her hard emotional shield, but instead of sadness, there was only anger.
Trying to hide when they come down to feed. All of them scared, just cattle, stupid meat. And when they bite you, it hurts so bad. But at the same time, you can feel them. And part of you wants to join them. You want to be them. And that's the worst part of all.
But you're okay now, Julie assured her. You made it out. Holly removed an incendiary grenade from a pouch on her armor.
Damn right I did.
She pulled the pin and tossed it into the pit. And when I eventually die, the grenade exploded with a puff of flames, spreading out over the corpses, igniting their clothing and hair, burning skin and crackling fat, destroying them beyond the point of return.
I'll need you guys to do this for me.
So that was Holly Newcastle's story.
Good luck, friends,
she whispered. I patted her gently on the shoulder. She grimly hoisted her rifle and stepped away from the edge as oily smoke began to fill the cavern. We pushed forward, away from the smell of burning hair and bone, deeper into the cavern, moving faster as nothing appeared to attack us. The portal was near. I could feel it. The section that we were entering had been roped off from the public, and it looked as if some sort of excavation had taken place. I illuminated a small information plaque. I scanned the words. Some of them caught my eye.
Well, I'll be damned, I exclaimed. Check this out.
The others drew close. Sam read the inscription aloud.
This section of cavern is believed to have been a burial ground for the ancient peoples of the region. Blah, 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 over 2,000 years old, yada, yada, great significance. Evidence of ancient writing that may be an indication of an even older civilization. Excavated in 1984 by, no shit, Dr. Jonas Turley and a team from the University of Alabama.
That's what the Seven were looking for. That's why they attacked his home, Julie said. Of course. Dr. Turley probably found the portal, but didn't know what it was or how to open it. The cursed one must have known about this place all along. But then why did they need my dad?
Hello there, honey.
A sweet voice sang from the darkness. I spun around and shined the flashlight on the spot. Nothing.
Mom, Julie hissed. She swung her M14 around in an arc, searching for a target.
Milo, Sam, and Holly did likewise. Five sets of lights crisscrossed the cave. I could not hear anything over our nervous breathing.
Come out and fight!
She shouted into the dark, her voice echoing over and over.
No, I don't want to fight you.
The voice came from one side. I thought that perhaps I had caught a tiny bit of movement as the light flickered past.
You're my daughter. We don't need to be enemies.
Now from the other side. I swung back around. Damn masters are fast.
What do you want, then?
Julie demanded. Milo cracked more glow sticks and tossed them into the dark, giving us a little bit larger circle of illumination.
I want us to be a family again. Me and you and little Nate. I know he's up there, too.
Her voice came from the ceiling above our heads. Holly cranked off a shot into the rocks. It ricocheted across the cavern, and Susan's laughter rose behind us.
Wait until you've got a target, Sam ordered.
All of us, even your daddy, one big happy family,
Susan said pleasantly. I began to shiver as I felt her probing our minds.
Too late for that. You killed him. The feds have probably already burned the body.
Julie's eyes narrowed as she searched the shadows, cheek resting on the stock of her rifle.
Oh, honey, once again you think you know what's going on. You always thought you had everything figured out. Do you really think somebody like good old Myers would cut your daddy's head off if he thought that there might be some information in there of use? I've known Myers since he was a newbie. He was always a cold-hearted son of a gun, always practical. You know your daddy trained him, right? You would think he would be sentimental just once and would have done his old mentor a favor and finished him off. What are you saying? Your daddy's alive.
She put the accent on alive, almost as if she was singing it.
Well, not really alive, as you know, but something so much better.
Lying bitch!
Julie shouted.
Wait, there's more.
Susan laughed.
The feds were expecting some easy-to-handle, wimpy new creation. A weak, new vampire. You had your daddy for 2 nights. I visited him the first night, and you never even knew. He was so happy to see me. He would have done anything I asked of him. He even partook of my blood. You know what that means, don't you?
I'm going to stake you if it's the last thing I do,
Julie vowed.
You didn't answer my question, but of course you know. As soon as he died, he rose again, far stronger than they expected. He's already escaped. He's returning to me as we speak. His mind will heal. He'll be whole again. Isn't that wonderful, honey? One big, happy family.
There was a whoosh of air, and then Susan's laughter sounded from back the way that we had come.
Owen, find that gate,
Sam whispered. I turned back to the wall, desperately running my hands over the cool rock, looking for some indication of the place of power.
Oh, my darling Sam, I can hear you. No need to whisper. That's impolite amongst friends. I always loved you for your heart and your courage. You can come with us, too. Join my family.
He scowled and spit tobacco juice on the ground.
Susan, you were a mighty fine woman when you were alive and all. But personally, I'd rather be gang-raped by giant rabid syphilitic porcupines than join your shithead hippie commune undead family, you scrawny-ass vampire skank whore.
He wiped his good arm across his mustache.
It's going to be a cold day in hell before you've got the balls to come down here and take an ounce of red American blood out of Sam Roger Haven, you slack-jawed, hair-lipped, monkey-humping pus-bag.
So be it. Still stubborn as ever. And Milo. Faithful Milo. So loyal. So creative. I have a place of honor set aside for you.
What Sam said and stuff, Milo answered bravely.
Leave us alone. We aren't here for you. We just want Lord Machado. You don't want the whole world destroyed.
Honey, my world is going to be just fine.
She sounded closer now, right outside our circle of glow sticks, somehow evading the beams of our flashlights. She was coming for us, and soon. I continued to rub my hands over the rock. I needed a seam, a crack, some carvings, anything. The portal had to be here somewhere. I could feel it. In my dream, it had just opened right up for the cursed one. Julie glanced at me anxiously. They were counting on me.
Last chance, kids,
Susan sang.
I'm getting tired of screwing around.
Z, hurry!
Holly pleaded.
We need to go.
Working on it, I answered.
Here she comes,
Sam said, raising his sig and aiming it into the dark. Mist swirled around the beam from his pistol-mounted M3 light. The mist coalesced into the form of a woman. She was too close. We wouldn't be able to put her down in time. other shapes began to emerge from behind her, shuffling slowly toward us, red eyes coming into focus. Whites. At least a dozen of them at first, and then more. Lots more. Red eyes seemingly winking into existence all across.